podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you might speak to us through your word. Help us, Father, to be reminded of who your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ is, what he means to us, and how important it is, Lord, for us to embrace that truth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John begins this passage of Scripture we're looking at this morning by talking about the Antichrist. And all of us have heard about the Antichrist who is to come, this world ruler, according to Scripture, who will exalt himself above all, who will unite the nations and unite even religious people together and eventually deceive them into no longer worshiping the true God, but worshiping him. And some of this teaching began as far back as the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament, where we read these words, "The king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been determined must take place." And from this passage and many other passages throughout the Scripture, we weave this thread that we call the Antichrist, the beast, the dragon of the book of Revelation, this world figure that will take prominence, that will lead people astray and deceive them. But you know, the Antichrist is not just someone who goes against Christ. It's actually someone who rises up and strives to replace Christ. That's what Antichrist means, is to come into the place of Christ. And throughout world history, there have been certain individuals who were thought to be the Antichrist. So throughout world history, people have said, look, there's the Antichrist. No, wait, there's the Antichrist. And even in our day, people are continuously trying to locate this Antichrist. For example, Nero, who was the emperor of Rome, put many, many Christians to death. In fact, he made a sport of it by opening up the arenas. He set Rome on fire and he blamed the Christians for it. Many thought in his day that he was the Antichrist until he passed off the scene. During the days of Adolf Hitler, the Nazi leader who exterminated millions of Jews and handicapped people and enemies of war, this terrible man, full of so much evil, he had the cross that was in churches replaced with a swastika. He had pictures of Christ in the churches replaced with his picture. Many people thought that he was the Antichrist. Joseph Stalin was a Russian dictator who exterminated 30 million people, perhaps one of the worst murderers the world has ever known, and closed down thousands of churches saying, you don't need God anymore. In fact, belief in God is a sign of weakness, Joseph Stalin taught. Many people thought that he was the Antichrist in his day. And many United States presidents, from Roosevelt to Kennedy to Reagan to Obama, have been thought by someone somewhere to be the Antichrist. But you know, in this passage of Scripture, John notes that one of the signs of the end, one of the signs that this is the last days that we live in, is not the appearance necessarily of the Antichrist, capital A, but Antichrists, plural. That there are many Antichrists already in our midst who are deceiving believers and unbelievers alike. And John writes this portion of his letter so that we will not fall for their lies. So how do we spot them? How do we spot these Antichrists? Well, one thing that John says about these Antichrists is that they desert the body. What that means is they desert the body is that they have left the fellowship of Christians, the community of believers. They were once a part of that community, worshiping shoulder to shoulder, having fellowship with believers, even perhaps seen as some of the strongest people in the midst of those churches. But then they deserted the body. They left the church. John says, "Dear children, this is the last hour," verse 18, "and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come." Verse 19, "they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us." They went out from us. They departed from us. Believe it or not, this is the same word that's used by John in the Gospels of what Judas did at the time of the Last Supper, when he got up from the table and he departed to betray Jesus. Now John uses that same word and he says, here were some people who were a part of us. They worshiped with us side by side, but now they've gotten up from the table, from the community, from the fellowship, and they've walked away. And they are betraying Christ. They have become antichrists. They've departed. Which really demonstrates their driftedness, is what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. That they've drifted far away from the truth and have led others with them. And John says the fact that they left the body of Christ, the community of Christians, he says that proves that they were not really with us in the first place. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. Because if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. One of the signs of the Antichrist or Antichrists is a person who is a part of the community of fellowship. Now, I'm not just saying someone who leaves your church, because I recognize that we live in an area where there are many churches, and people will leave one church and go into another church and leave that church and go into another church. And some people say, well, this church doesn't meet my needs for right now, and they go to another church. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about, and I believe what John was talking about, was people who were a part of the community of faith, the body of Christ, who left and who began to preach against the truth, who walked away from God. And they prove, John says, that they never really were a part of the family of God. They never truly belonged. And so that is how you spot an Antichrist. They desert the body. They demonstrate their driftedness. Listen to some of the words of Jesus that John surely heard while he was following Jesus through the roads of Israel and toward Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many." And then also later on in Matthew 24, "At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here's the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible." So here in 1 John, John is warning the body of believers that there are these antichrists who exist. These antichrists who have been a part of the body but now have left. They've demonstrated that they have drifted away from the truth and they deny the truth about Jesus Christ. Really, the test of whether a person is with Christ or against Christ is what they believe about Christ. And in this passage of Scripture, John says, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us, in verse 19. But if you jump on down to verse 22, it says, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. So they deny the truth about Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 8 to 10, after Philip asked him this question, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. Jesus answered the question, says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So Jesus' claim all along was this: I and the Father are one. When you hear my words, you hear the words of God. If you embrace the Father, you embrace me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so John speaks out against those who masqueraded as Christians, but then left the community and the faith of believers to walk out and say, Jesus is not really the Messiah. Jesus is not really our Savior. Jesus is not really God. He's not the Son of God. He's not our Lord. And they walked away from the faith. You might ask the question, well, what does it matter? I mean, what does it matter if someone's an antichrist, if someone doesn't believe these truths? You know, it starts off in our society, we look at cults. You know, that people who have walked away from the truth just enough where they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God anymore. And as a result of that, anyone who is drawn into their web, believing that what that cult is teaching is truth, doesn't know the real Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of discussion in the media lately about Mormonism. The reason there's been this discussion is because there are two Mormon candidates for the Republican presidential nomination. And as a result of that, they've asked Christians, well, could you support someone who is a Mormon to be president of the United States? And, you know, no matter what your answer to that question is, the first question that they always ask is this: is a Mormon a Christian? And maybe you've been asked, is a Jehovah's Witness a Christian? All of these groups that call themselves Christian, are they Christians? The people who have worshipped in those bodies, are they believers in Jesus Christ? And you know, I think that the answer to that is really on a case-by-case basis. I believe that the Mormon Church teaches that Jesus is not God. I believe that that also the Jehovah's Witness churches, they teach that Jesus Christ is not God. And so as a result, they are not Christian. But I have met individual people that have been sucked into that lifestyle who do believe that Jesus Christ is God. It's a difficult thing. I think that we as believers in Jesus Christ need to be careful that what we preach is the truth, and that we don't begin to drift, and that we as individuals and as a church don't get labeled as an antichrist because we drift away from the truth. You know, but the big problem really isn't with cults, because we can spot them. We know what they're called. The big problem is this, is with our drifting priorities as individuals. You know that? You know, we all talk about the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior and our God. He's our Messiah. We believe in Him. He saved us. He's given us eternal life. He's transformed us and redeemed us. This is who Jesus is to us, and it means everything to us. However, there come times in our lives when we drift away from Jesus. And so what we say about Jesus is not necessarily reflected in the way we live our lives. And this is where we need to be careful as his followers, when our priorities begin to drift. Jesus Christ is not our mascot. He is not just our teacher. He's not just our example. He's not just this great historical figure that we like to talk about on Sunday mornings. He is our Lord. He is our God. And we must worship and serve him with everything that we have and everything that we are. And we need to make sure that our priority, our first priority, is with him. We need to be vigilant to protect the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that he is our Lord and our God. We cannot fall for a lie. So rather than falling for a lie, we are to continually fall for the truth. This is what John says about the people in the churches that he was writing to. He says, you already know the truth. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is God. And you can spot a faithful believer by how he or she responds to that truth in their lives. So really, I can demonstrate whether you are a faithful believer and whether what you believe is actually true in your life by looking at your lifestyle, the way that you live. We need to fall for the truth. Here is how you spot a faithful believer, according to John. First of all, a faithful believer possesses the truth. Faithful believers possess the truth. Look at verse 20. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because you know it, and no lie comes from the truth. And then also it's true that faithful believers confess the truth. We possess the truth, but we also confess the truth. In verse 23, John writes, no one who denies the Son has the Father, but whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. How do we acknowledge the truth that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our God and our Savior? How do we acknowledge that truth every day? How do we confess it? It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to live it. Hopefully we wake up every morning and pray a prayer similar to David's. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. And we leave to depart into this world, to our place of work, to our school, to the place where we meet our friends. Wherever we go in the course of the day, I pray that our heads are on straight and we profess and possess the truth, but also our lives are lived in such a way to demonstrate that. Where we say, God, let the works of my hands reflect who you are. Let the places where my feet go, the things that I let my eyes look at and my ears take in, let those things prove that you are my God and I am a follower of yours. Let me love people sacrificially as Jesus loved me sacrificially to demonstrate that you are my Lord. Let me take up my cross daily and follow you from this day on. Let me be more like you. I will be holy because you are holy. Lord, help me to be more like Jesus Christ. That is possessing and confessing the truth with your life. It's not enough to just know the truth, but our lives need to show the truth. Thirdly, faithful believers remain in the Word. And this word remain in this passage of Scripture shows up time and time and time again. Look at 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. This word remain has also been translated in some of your Bibles as abide. It simply means to grab on and to not let go, to stay in Christ, to be a part of His community of believers, to trust in Him, to follow Him with everything that you have and with every gift that He's given you, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to remain in Him. The Antichrists, he says, they drifted. They wandered away. They let go of the truth. They let go of the body of Christ. But faithful believers are to remain in the truth, the Word of God, and in the Spirit who has anointed us and marked us and sealed us as believers in Jesus Christ until the day of redemption. The mark of God is all over us, and people see it when we follow Him faithfully. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May others see as we live our lives that His word is a part of who we are. You know, it's what we eat in the morning and we digest and it comes out of us, out of our pores. And we can't help but be like Christ because His word dwells within us richly. And then the apostle also wrote, as he wrote to the Ephesian church, "Do not get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." Do you see something that these two verses had in common, the one in Colossians, the one here in Ephesians? It is this, that when the Word of God dwells in you, when the Holy Spirit fills you, it comes out of you. You speak words of encouragement. You sing psalms and hymns. You make music in your heart to the Lord. It fills you with the joy of God, His Word, His Spirit living within you. And it comes out of you so that all can see. We need to fall for the truth, to grab onto it today and to never let go, to remain in it. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He is my Messiah. He is my Lord. He is my God. He is what matters in my life. Say, I will remain in Him. And I will watch out for subtle lies that might cause me to drift away. I will not be trapped by the traditions of church, the traditions of religion, the way that we do things. I will not be led astray from God. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life and my God. There's a chorus that we sing from time to time that expresses this beautifully. "You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all." Heavenly Father, I pray that those would not just be the words that we sing, but Father, they would come from a heart that embraces the truth. Jesus Christ is our Lord, our Savior, our God. Father, help us to follow you more closely. Help us, Lord, as individuals to identify the places in our lives where we have allowed ourselves to drift ever so slowly away from the truth. And help us, Lord, to center our lives again in the person of Jesus Christ. And Father, may it be seen through what we do and what we say to others, Lord, that you are what matters. Heavenly Father, we pray for the many activities of this church, for these shoeboxes that have been collected, for the gifts that are being purchased, for the foster children through Seeds of Hope, for the Thanksgiving meals that are being put together for next Sunday, Lord, for the needy, for gift cards that are being bought for those in our congregation who have needs, and Father, even for these MP3 Bibles that will be sent out to our military. Lord, there are so many opportunities for us to give. And Father, not just those opportunities, but when we wake up tomorrow morning and we head off to work, we're going to meet many people in this world who have needs. Father, their first and greatest need is the need to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, we recognize that all of these things that we are about, all of this work is wonderful. But apart from your empowerment And apart from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God, Lord, these things are nothing. So, Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with the joy that comes from dwelling in your word and remaining and abiding with you. And, Father, may your life bleed through ours. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.